We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
In verse 20 it says, "For all the promises of God are in Him," meaning Jesus. "And yes, in Him, Jesus, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes with you in Christ," you're in Christ, okay? That's that N. "You're in Christ, has anointed us." So if you're in Christ, God has anointed us. With who? "Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Okay? So when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you as a guarantee to get you where you are going, which is heaven. It's a guarantee. Now, next to this, I have Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. So I want you to go to the book of Ephesians here, chapter 1. And look what it says here in verse 12. It says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you heard the gospel, you received the gospel, you trusted in Jesus, in whom also having believed in Jesus, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who, because the Holy Spirit of promise, the promise the Father promised Jesus, the one that Jesus was talking about in Acts chapter 1, wait for the promise of the Father, that promise right there, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of His glory. You've been sealed, you've been guaranteed, it's that promise of the Father that Jesus was talking about, who says that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what God's word says. Now, if you go back to Galatians chapter 4, it says in verse 6, speaking to believers, those who have received Jesus, "And because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of His Son," the Holy Spirit, "in your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So again, when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit now comes inside. But guess what? Can't leave anymore. This is something that has happened that's never happened before in the history of the world. The Holy Spirit now can come and reside in you permanently. And that is an amen, that's for sure. Now going back here to John chapter 14. In verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things, bring to remembrance all things that I've said to you." So when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that not only is He going to lead and guide you in truth, but He is also going to bring, He's going to teach you all things, bring to remembrance all things that I said to you, Jesus said. Well, how do you know what Jesus said? By His word. He says, "I will bring to your remembrance." To bring something to your remembrance means that you have read it before. I've received Jesus, but I don't really read the word of God, but I pray all the time. And yet, He never brings to me remembrance of anything He said. Well, that's because you're not reading what He says. He'll bring to your remembrance because there was a first time when you read His word. And the more you read His word, the more that the Spirit can use that to remind you of the things that the word of God says. But if you're not reading the word of God, you're wondering why you can't remember what the Lord says. And this is why the Holy Spirit doesn't bring it up, because He can't remind you of something that you haven't been reading. But if you have been reading, He will remind you. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands. But I guarantee you there's many of us here that all of a sudden a situation comes up and then I'm reminded by what the Word of God says. And so I know what to do or say. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. That's one of the things that He does. Go to John 16. We read in verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me," Jesus says. "He will take of what is mine and declare it to you." And so the Spirit is there to bring remembrance all the things Jesus said. He will also lead you in truth. But there's also a third experience of the Holy Spirit, and it is that epe, upon you. In Acts 1:8, it says this, "But you shall receive power," dunamis, it's where we get the word dynamite from. Okay, that's incredible power, okay? "You shall receive this dynamite power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The word "upon" here is a Greek word epe. It means upon you, over you. Now, going back here to John 7, verse 37, Jesus describes this epe experience, this upon you, on you, over you. "On the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me," because we can believe in him now, "he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" You have to ask yourself, has that been happening? Does that happen in your life? "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit." The Spirit should be manifesting himself in your life that it feels like torrents of living water coming out. "This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." The word "rivers" here in the Greek is potamos. Means torrent or floods, water that overflows its banks. Do you believe that Paul, the Apostle Paul, had torrents of living water as he manifested the Holy Spirit in his ministry? I would say yes, he did. And yet we don't read where Paul was baptized with the Holy Spirit, unless being baptized with the Holy Spirit means being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you go over here, you don't need to keep your hand here, but just go over to Acts chapter 9. I just find this very interesting. We have Saul, his name's Saul here at this point. He's going to Damascus to arrest Jews who have received Jesus and are spreading the gospel and everything else. And then Jesus shows up to him and as this great light, and Paul falls to his knees and he hears this great light, and he hears this, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." He's blinded, and so those around him brings him into Damascus. There's a certain disciple named Ananias. He's told, he's just had a vision, "Hey, there's this guy named Saul over here." The Lord tells Ananias, "You're going to go over there, lay hands on him so he can see again," okay? And Ananias says, "Lord, I have heard of this, many things about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints." And so the Lord says in verse 15, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul,'" I love that, "'the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He received his sight at once. He arose, was baptized. So when he received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. I would submit to you that him being filled was also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's filled. And then you go and see his ministry after that, how he spoke with boldness. And being filled, he did this. And being filled, he did that. And we see this time and time again. We see it in Acts chapter 13, verse 9. "Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him," Bar Jesus, And so he confronted this sorcerer, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he did that. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." He doesn't say be baptized with the Holy Spirit, because I think it's really the same thing myself. If someone wants to argue no, because it's like, okay, I rather have the right thing, even though I might not be calling it exactly correct, than the right name and being wrong in what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do in someone's life. Because what the Holy Spirit is going to do, he's going to lead and guide you in truth. Absolutely. He's going to bring to remembrance. He's going to teach you the things of God's word. Whenever you read the word of God, you should always say this beforehand: "Father, I'm asking that your Spirit would open my eyes to the wonders of your word. Teach me what this means." The Holy Spirit will do that. He'll say things like, "Look this word up. You now have that program on your phone. You can look what this word means and how it's going to now open up what I'm talking about here." And he'll tell you, "Oh, remember when you were reading yesterday over here? Well, that means this." And all of a sudden, the Spirit will start to minister to you. And you're going, "Whoa, that is so cool." But here's something else the Spirit does. Gives you power to be what? Witnesses. In Judea. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the world. That's where that power comes from. That power is for you to be bold to say something as the Holy Spirit is prompting you to say something. That power will be there. They'll be able to see Jesus in you. It's to be a witness. It's not to be a ridiculous idiot. Where you fall down on the ground, uncontrolled, laughing hysterically, rolling around. "Oh, it's the Spirit. I'm being slain." No. It's a spirit, it's just not the Holy Spirit. It's the foolish spirit of your own vain imagination. Start barking like dogs, you know, groaning and moaning and yelling, and, "Oh, the Spirit is here." Well, a spirit is here. A very, very foolish spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Because you're not being a witness for him when you do that. You're not being a witness for him. The epic experience empowers the believer for service, to be used by God, to be a witness. It's the outflowing of the Spirit. It's a flowing of God's power working through me, touching those around me. Lloyd Pulley, in his excellent book, Under His Influence, Yielding to the Work of the Holy Spirit, he says, when he looks at John 7:37-38, he says, "Jesus promises that rivers of living waters will flow from the hearts of all that are thirsty that come to him." The Greek word potamos, which is translated rivers in the passage, actually means torrents or floods. It's an abundance of flowing water. This is not a gentle, tranquil, meandering brook that Jesus is talking about, but a swift, powerful river overflowing its banks. He goes on, it's a swift and powerful river overflowing banks. It's our innermost being. Of all who come to Jesus will gush forth a mighty rushing river of life-giving sustenance, filling their lives, spilling over into the lives of others as well. Then he quotes this from Oswald Chambers. He says, "If we believe in Jesus, it is not what we gain, but what he pours through us that really counts." I would say this epi experience, this overflowing, being filled, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, is this him working through you to minister to other people. God's purpose is not simply to make us beautiful, plump grapes, but to make grapes so that he may squeeze the sweetness out of us. Our spiritual life cannot be measured by success as the world measures it, but only by what God pours through us, and we cannot measure that at all. Oswald Chambers. Actually, hey, Mike, can you take out that little thing right there? That was my bad. Just need to say grapes. Yeah, grapes. There we go, grapes. There we go. Look how the Spirit moves. Isn't that amazing? There we go. There we go. That's, you know, spell check doesn't pick up on that. So, you know, I'm going along, typing that in and everything else. I don't see a red line, so I keep moving on. As we walk in the Spirit, the Lord is interested not only in blessing us, but using our lives as a means to where he overflows in us to affect the lives of other people, to be a light and a witness. Be prayed up before you go out to eat. Lord, infill us that when we ask the server, hey, we're going to pray for meals, is there anything that we could pray for you about? That overflowing of you in our lives will be seen. It's as simple as that. And just see what the Lord does. Lloyd Pulley goes on to say this under his influence, yielding to the Holy Spirit. He says, unfortunately, though, some of us would rather be ponds rather than rivers. We love to accumulate God's blessings for our lives, but we are reluctant to let him use our lives as channels for blessing others. See, you can grieve the Holy Spirit that as he's welling up inside, wanting to pour forth through you, going, oh, I'm afraid, and you don't let him do it. And you remained a pond. It's not as though he's not speaking to you. It's not as though he's not teaching in his word and things like that. But you have a grip. And you're not allowing him to come through the way that the Lord wants him to come through so you could be a light and a witness to others. And so he says, but we're reluctant to let him use our lives as a channel for blessing to others. Standing water tends to become stagnant over time. And eventually everything in it will die. On the other hand, a flowing river is fresh, life-sustaining environment, everything in it will thrive. Lloyd Pulley, under his influence. It's a great question to ask. What describes your life when it comes to the Holy Spirit, a pond or a river? And I would say that most of us could probably say, well, sometimes a pond and sometimes a river. You know, and that's true. I can say the same thing. No, sometimes it's a pond. I'm not allowing the Lord to do what he wants to do. I'm afraid for some reason to say something when I'm feeling impressed, whatever it might be. But there are other times when it's absolutely a river, but there are some of you here that it's always been a pond. And you have to ask yourself why. It's interesting to me, when you see Jesus, it tells us at his baptism, it says, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were open to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. It was only then, when the Spirit has come upon him, that he did his ministry at that point, that God used his service at that point, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon him. Well, today, when you receive Jesus, guess what? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay, Dave, I get it. I've received Jesus. Well, then the Spirit is already inside of you. Okay, then what am I supposed to do? I want you to go to Luke chapter 11. We're going to end with this. Luke chapter 11. And I want you to see something here. It is Father's Day. I can't think of a more appropriate thing to end with than this. But in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says this. He gives the model of how to pray. And then he talks about persistency in prayer. And then he says, this is what you really should be praying for. Verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. It's interesting to me that every time you look at about a door in the New Testament, it always speaks of a door of ministry. Jesus is the door. Yeah, door to salvation, so you could do what? Be used for ministry. Paul says that I'm going to stay behind here because a great and effective door has been opened for me, speaking of ministry. So when he says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, I would submit to you that what is really being spoken of here is ways to serve the Lord. That you might look to serve the Lord over here and you're knocking and knocking and knocking. You knock on enough doors asking God, how do I serve? One will eventually be opened for you. And it says, for everyone who asks, receives. You are going to receive. Ask, Lord, where do you want me to serve? How can I do this? Where do you want me for ministry? Ask that. He will tell you. He will tell you. And he who seeks, finds. So it is takes a seeking. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Notice the things that are being asked for here. As a son, you're asking for things that sustain life. You're looking at bread. You're looking at a fish. You're looking at an egg. I'm asking things to sustain life. And he says, what father isn't going to answer that? Who's going to play the dirty trick and give him a stone instead? Or a serpent? or a scorpion? Dave, you don't know my dad. I get that. Some of you might have had horrible, horrible fathers. But you know who isn't a horrible father? Your heavenly father. And then he makes this. He says, look, you're good fathers, is what he's saying. But he then says, if you being evil, because we're all sinners, know the right thing to give your child. He goes on, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Dave, I don't know if I've ever had that epic experience. Well, guess what you can do? Ask. Father, I'm asking that you give me the boldness to be a witness and ask our server, you know, how we could pray for her. Do you really think the Lord's up there going, yeah, no. Yes, he's going to answer that. I ask every day in my devotional time, Lord, infill me with your Holy Spirit. I have no idea how you're going to use me today. And I can get distracted throughout the day to where there's an opportunity and I don't take it and I'm kind of driving home somewhere. I'm going, oh, that's where I should have been, a light and a witness. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Infill me for the rest of the day, you know, that I won't miss those opportunities. Before I get up here and teach, I'm always saying, infill me, Lord, infill me. I'm here to tell you, I've gotten up here before without saying that. And I'm in the beginning of the sermon or something like that, and I just can't seem to get traction. For whatever reason, it just seems like I'm really, you know, trying to make it happen. And the first thing that comes to me is going, I don't think I asked to be infilled before I got up here. So this is usually how you know. Hey, I want you guys to turn over here. And I'm going, Lord, infill me with your Holy Spirit. It happens. But you can ask. I don't even care how you say it. Lord, infill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Lord, that gift you have given me in the Holy Spirit, may it manifest for all to see. However you ask, God is going to say yes to that every single time. I guarantee a theologian can come up to me and say, Dave, you didn't quite explain it right. I get it. But I'd rather have the right thing with maybe the wrong understanding of it, every single name that is supposed to mean and thing like that, than have it theologically correct but never being used in that capacity. And I know that the Holy Spirit, like torrents of living waters, has been used through me many times in my life and continues to do that. And it isn't seen the same way all the time. We think of this fire hose that's going out and just hammering everybody, and they're just falling over receiving Jesus. Sometimes that does happen. I know many evangelists that when the Holy Spirit works through them, just people are giving their lives to the Lord. It's amazing. It's absolutely wonderful. But I also know that also speaks of you're just affecting other people, and you're planting seeds, and you're not responsible for the results. Just can you be that torrent of living water come through you and splashing on people that they would know that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that they know that you're a Christian. You know what is a very, very sad thing that I've experienced several times is when I've done somebody's memorial, and during the memorial it expresses how they believed in Jesus and how they went to a certain church or whatever, and it's kind of like people will get up afterwards and I'd be talking to them and go, man, I worked with him for 15 years. I didn't know he was a Christian. Wow. May that never be said about any of us. Your coworkers should know you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And you shouldn't have to say anything. They should see it. And they will ask about it, and that's when you can share it. Your neighbors should all know. Every single one of your family members should know. Let's pray.
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. It's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings, and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.